This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. A little bit later on the show, we will do a little bit of handicapping. I thought with the big pool down at Gulfstream, maybe we'll take a look at some of the first few legs of the rainbow today, give you an idea of maybe how to start out the ticket. I will note, when I came in, I was looking at the Tampa simulcast signal, which is up on my monitor here. They have a carryover in their late pick five. Keep that in mind today. I think it's at $25,000, which I would expect would attract a little bit of attention. So the late pick five at Tampa today, they also said on their simulcast. I have not double-checked, but it was a graphic on the simulcast that they're off the turf today at Tampa. So that seems to be the case. And again, late pick five carryover down at Tampa. But as I said, maybe I'll take a look at the start of the rainbow, which yesterday they guaranteed at $2 million and got over that. So, and yesterday was, I went 4 for 6. I put a little ticket together. And the two legs I didn't have, excuse me, were Havable. And I think I paid $1,300. So with the pool the size it is, we're in that area now where the consolation, you know, you put together a ticket for 40, 50, 60 bucks, you might wind up with $800 or $1,200 or $1,500. A little bit later than that, towards the last third of the show, we'll be joined by our friend Gene Kirshner from the Buffalo News. Gene has come out with his annual Racing Kreskin column. We always like to hear the predictions for the year. He looks at the year ahead and pulls some different kind of predictions ahead, and maybe we'll do a little review of the 2019 predictions, but also get some of his thoughts perhaps year-end 2019. Eclipse Award nominations came out yesterday. Talk a little bit about that as well, and try to cheer him up, I'm sure, because Gene's wife works for the Buffalo Bills, being out in Buffalo, like everybody out there. I think they were, three quarters of the way through the game, they were still feeling pretty good yesterday. That was a tough beat for the Bills. In a season where I think it went much, much better than anticipated. They should be still playing next weekend, I would think. But then Syracuse last night, I left the studio, listened to the end of the first half on the radio. They were a tough beat. If you're an SU fan, that was a tough beat as well. But that's the nice thing about horse racing. You turn the page, new slate, we can all win some money today and make everything better. Top of the show, we will go back to yesterday and some of the stakes action. Before we do that, though, I wanted to kick it off with the stake from earlier in the week. Last Saturday morning, we had Mike Trombetta on Racing Across America, and we talked some runners he had in stakes at Laurel and Gulfstream last Saturday, one of which won. But we also previewed Independence Hall coming up on New Year's Day last Wednesday in New York. And this was just a great way to kick off the Derby trail. Independence Hall coming out of the Nashua, where he got a 101 buyer in early November, came into, obviously, 2020 with a lot of buzz. It was pretty shortly after the Nashua that they said, we're not going to head for the Remsen. We're going to give the horse a little time off the big effort. We'll go for the one-turn mile in the Jerome to kick off 2020. So last Wednesday, the Jerome, it did kick off 2020. And as each horse ages a year, with the changing of the calendar page. This kicked off the three-year-old season and essentially the Derby Trail with Independence Hall on Wednesday. Winning nicely over a field he completely overmatched. Right about here, I was saying, boy, he should be pulling away from these horses. And then just as I say that, he does start to pull away. Now, the 101 in the Nashua certainly jumped off the page as far as two-year-old figures last year. This was an 83, so the number went back significantly. But look, he wins by a chart margin of four lengths. It's January 1st. How much do you want to squeeze the juice out of the lemon this early? How much is it more impressive if he wins by 20 and the buyer is 95 or whatever? He did what he had to do. That leads to the buyer number. It's pretty straight 24s all the way around the track for the most part, and wound up with a 137.27. So, it wasn't eye-popping as far as time or buyer necessarily, but as I said, kind of had a bunch of outclass rivals who he raced with until they got to the top of the stretch, and then when push came to shove, he did pull away. Game plan coming out of this, and when we had Trombetta on, he kind of alluded to it, but since then, has said they're heading, in fact, they may already be there, but the game plan for the winter, head down to Tampa and decide what to do there. Sam Davis may be next, and then they would decide, did they go to Tampa Bay Derby? From Tampa, kind of all your options are open, regardless of where you are, if you have a good three-year-old. Fairgrounds, Oaklawn, Gulfstream, come back to New York and try the wood, perhaps. But right now, they're going to be down in Tampa for a while. And it would seem like if you're in Tampa, you can take a look at this point at least the Sam Davis and make that a kind of a launching point for the race that will take you to the Derby, perhaps. But as I say, it was a nice way to kick off the Derby Trail because this we get to January 1st, the Jerome, a horse that had a lot of buzz. He validates that buzz. So it was a nice way to get things started as we start thinking about Triple Crown and Kentucky Derby and whatnot. More three-year-old action yesterday down at Gulfstream. Nice stakes action. We had Acacia Courtney on yesterday kind of reviewing the stakes action. Then we also talked to Jeremy Plonk about the Mucho Macho Man, which we'll hit on a little bit later. But the stakes action kicked off yesterday in race number six, the Limehouse. These are three-year-olds going six furlongs. Which points to another, I like that subdivision of three-year-olds on the turf, but another nice subdivision is three-year-olds sprinting. This will play into that, you would think, and Chivalry will be a player during the year. You know, the races like the Woody Stevens and the Alan Jerkins and most of the Treks on their big days for their big three-year-old races have a nice three-year-old sprint race as well. Chivalry went off as the 3-5 favorite in the Limehouse yesterday. Lived up to that pretty easily, kicking off the Rainbow Six at a $3.20 price. I singled this one to start my Rainbow ticket. As you see, Chivalry, the number one horse, gets in gear. And right about here, you kind of have to feel like, I'm in pretty good shape. And then runs off by a chart margin of over three lengths to get it done. Ricky Tiki Taffy, second, Peruvian Boy, third. But this was all Chivalry, who was coming out of a win in the Buffalo Man previously, had broken the maiden in the fifth career start. You look, and really throughout the career, the buyer numbers have been improving, but they were also ambitious. The horse was still a maiden in career start number three, and career start number three and four were some of those rich Florida Stallion stakes races. So, you know, to jump into those as a maiden wound up well beaten. But again, the buyer was improving with each start. So in start number five, jumps into him back into maiden specials where he belonged and wins off by nine. Then follows up with the Buffalo Man, then follows up yesterday with the Limehouse. So now three for the last three races. Jaramillo was on board for trainer Ralph Nix. Chivalry, again, looks like a horse to watch in those three-year-old sprint stakes races. And coming out of the Mucho Macho Man, I think that may be the case there as well. The Kitten's Joy, I like Summer to Remember. Summer to Remember is going to wind up third in here. Is what the 3-1 second choice. The favorite was Irish Mias. I had those two 1-2. I had Summer to Remember over Irish Mias. They just got started too late. You know, particularly Irish Mias. Irish Mias is going to make a late run to run fourth. Get Smokin' led most of the way. Island Commish was second most of the way, and so they got to the top of the stretch, and those two kind of had a little bit of an edge. They'll pull away here a little bit with Island Commish kind of getting first run, and you can see nobody else is really making up ground. Irish Mias, the number two horse, starts to come late, but just can do no better than fourth in here with Summer to Remember, the Pletcher runner that was only making the third career start, third. But, again, the top two turned it into the stretch. They were in the lead. Nobody was making up ground. Top two just kind of switched position at the top of the stretch with Island Commish getting it done. Four, Safi Joseph. And I had Island Commish down in the third spot. Was coming out of a couple of nice optional claiming wins on the turf most recently. Trained by Safi Joseph, owned by Matt Shearer. I mentioned it yesterday during OTB Live. He's now tied in with a guy like Matt Shearer, who's a prominent owner. He was Safi Joseph, the trainer. He had an E5 racing horse running yesterday, stakes horse. And I said yesterday, this is a guy, if you've been watching racing in Florida, maybe the past year and a half or so, Safi Joseph's name has been becoming a little more prominent. And I said yesterday, to me, he's sitting maybe about where Brad Cox was a year and a half or so ago. Safi Joseph, in that same time frame, has, I think, been becoming a little more prominent. And for folks certainly watching Florida, is a guy that, whose name you've heard and you know a little bit about. But now I think getting involved with some of the more prominent owners and having a day like a nice stakes day like yesterday, that sets up a potential nice stakes year. You know, Brad Cox had Monomoy Girl. Safi Joseph comes out of yesterday with some horses that may be fun to watch going forward in 2020. But as I said, I think he's sitting on the potential to move to that next level, trainer Safi Joseph. But he gets it done yesterday with Island Commish in the Kitten's Joy. Glitter Woman, it's going to be number 8, Sound Machine, getting it done. I like Spanish Point in here. The number 6 horse winds up kind of a disappointing third. Just never really makes a run after having been 2-for-2 earlier in the career. Sound Machine was the horse I had right underneath. The career debut number was pretty good. The two subsequent starts maybe not quite as impressive, but was moving in the right direction. But looked impressive yesterday. Sound Machine for the aforementioned E5 Racing. Again, prominent owners. Trained by the aforementioned Safi Joseph. Sound Machine, here's the number 8, and just pulls away the chart margin. A cool 6.5 length, so really no fear from the rest of the field as they come down the stretch for Tyler Gaffleon. Sayonara Baby, the number 7 horse, gets it done to complete the exact at 14-1. A horse, when I was in talking on OTB Live yesterday, I thought was interesting, at a good price, was coming out of a nice win to break the maiden with a good number compared to this field, but it was against maiden claimers. But I said, you know what, the price, you're getting paid to take the shot if you like Sayonara Baby. And if you did like Sayonara Baby and used a Sound Machine, it was an $88 exacta there for a winner that paid $580. Sayonara Baby was 14-1. Sound Machine was 9-5 as the second choice. The horse I like, Spanish Point, who ran third, was in that cluster behind the top two. Was the 9-5 favorite. So Sound Machine was the close-up second choice. And again, pays $580. You know, you get an $88 exacta with a $580 horse. That's a nice little payoff. But again, Sayonara Baby, I thought was playable at the price, coming off the maiden claiming win. Obviously, this was a class move, but was coming off a pretty nice victory in the prior race. The Ginger Brew for 3-year-old fillies going 7.5 on the grass. This was going to be an interesting race because of how it might play out pace-wise. And, there were horses that had some early speed. you know, 23 and change, 46 and change, 109. There was a little bit of early pace to shoot at, and there was a closer that took advantage of it in number 12. She's My Type, Tyler Gaffleone on board for Christophe Clément. Moral Reasoning, the number 3 horse, just got started too late and winds up running second for Chad and Javier Castellano-Klarovich. I like Moral Reasoning. I thought that one may take advantage of the pace. Moral Reasoning's the number 3 horse. But number 12, She's My Type, just gets the jump on Moral Reasoning. You can see, has about 3 lengths here. Moral Reasoning on the outside, the number 3, is making up ground, but it's a little too late. Winds up second. Abscond, the favorite coming out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies turf, winds up running third. I had Abscond just underneath. I was not totally convinced. So again, the third place finish as the 2-1 favorite. Had a little bit of trouble, Abscond. But the story here is the winner, who had only had one start prior to this. It was a win in a maiden race beginning of December down at Gulfstream with a number that was a little bit light as compared to this field, but it was the first start. The horse could certainly have the eligibility to move forward and did. I think Christophe Clément has a nice little runner in this subdivision of three-year-old fillies on the turf where there'll be plenty of opportunities this year. There's some French breeding. There are French connections. Christophe Clément, so you have that European feel to the horse, and she is now 2-for-2 with a good-looking win, nice gutsy win. Moral Reasoning made ground, so the chart margin winds up to be a neck. I don't know whether he ever felt like Moral Reasoning was going to get there, but they're both horses that to watch in this subdivision, because Moral Reasoning was also lightly raced for Chad and Klarovich. That one had only had a couple of career starts so far. So She's My Type, Moral Reasoning come out of the race. Abscond really was right there in the mix too. All three of those fillies to watch, you would think, as they say, in this nice subdivision of three-year-old fillies on the turf that's just kicking off for 2012. Finally, on the card at Gulfstream yesterday, stakes action, the Mucho Macho Man. This was a fun race. I mean, this one comes down, and it is a ding-dong battle. The favorite, 70 cents to the dollar, was Chance It, the number 2 horse, coming out of a win in the $400,000 In Reality Florida Stallion Series 4. Trainer Safi Joseph, who, again, had a really nice day yesterday and is going to have some nice stakes runners coming out of the card. As Seen on TV, the number 4 runs second. Solo Valente, who was 2-for-2 in the career for Patrick Biancone, was 2-for-2 on turf. Winds up third. Okay third, though. I separated from the rest of the field. Was a little behind the top two, but Solo Valente is one that they can kind of look at, you would think, going either way, although clearly seems to be a little bit better on the turf. But look at these two ding-dong. As Seen on TV gets ahead in front, and then Chance It comes back, and then As Seen on TV, I think, is ahead here. And then Chance It, oh, right on the wire. It was ahead, Bob. A great performance. Chance It over As Seen on TV, over Solo Valente. But Chance It now 4-for-6 in the career, with the purse yesterday approaching $500,000 in earnings. As Seen on TV, that was only the fourth career start for that one. Now 2 wins, 2 second place finishes. 3 have been in stakes races. I think these are both very interesting horses going forward. We talked a little bit about this with Jeremy Plonk yesterday. I'm curious what the future is for these horses. That was a one-turn mile yesterday. I look at these and look at what they've done so far, and, you know, you have a talented three-year-old. You almost have to try to stretch them out. And the In Reality for Chance It that he had won in the previous start was at a mile and a 16th. As Seen on TV, we'll see what they do with that one. The one-turn mile was a good effort yesterday. But, again, I think you have a good, talented three-year-old. You have to try to stretch them out. So it won't surprise me if they try with both of these, particularly what we saw at the 8.5 furlongs last time for Chance It. And maybe they'll stretch out nicely, but I think both of these may have nice futures in that little subdivision of three-year-old sprinting. Like I mentioned earlier, the Woody Stevens and the Alan Jerkins, the nice sprint on the Derby weekend for the three-year-olds I can't think of right now. But there are opportunities if you decide to go that way. But as I say, in the meantime, it won't shock me if they say, you know what, let's see what we have and try a couple of two-turn races and decide from there, see if those Derby trail options are open for us, and maybe it'll work out for them. But they certainly looked really good. Both of those looked really good yesterday in that ding-dong stretch battle. All right, wanted to show one more race, one more three-year-old race, and a good performance. Talked about this one yesterday with Jeremy Plunk, the Sham, out at Santa Anita. And I mentioned that, you know, by Into Mischief, trained by Bob Baffert, authentic, to me, coming out of the win in the career debut, was going to attract a lot of attention. Did as the 6-5 favorite. Azul Coast winds up being the second choice. That was the other Bob Baffert. Went off at 2-1. Tation was a horse that Jeremy and I talked about. The third choice at 2-1. That one winds up fourth. Authentic is the winner. And on the back stretch as they head to the turn, he opens. But watching the stretch here, he's a little green. Drayden Van Dyke said in a follow-up article, it was the crowd noise that get to him. He, whoa, you think, oh, man, don't go over the rail. And then he kind of ducks back out and back in. But look at him open on the field here. And this was an okay little field. There was a little bit of talent in here. I mean, I don't know how they'll wind up. They're still lightly raced. I don't know what they'll wind up like going forward. But it seemed like on the face of it, it was an okay field. But Authentic just laughs and runs away and hides from them. So Bob Baffert has a nice runner now. A little bit green in start number two. But gets it done going a two-turn mile out at Santa Anita in fine fashion. The chart margin just under 8 lengths as the 6-5 favorite. Again, a little bit of a, for folks who bet, and I'm sure all the connections, a little excitement in the stretch as ducks in, ducks out. Comes back in a little bit, but again, winds up winning very, very easily in the Sham yesterday. So there's one of Baffert's runners. I say one of because the follow-up article in the Racing Forum mentioned the potential is open, as it usually is with Baffert, because typically he has a few runners and some are pointed to the West Coast Trail. Some head over to Oaklawn. And so the article mentioned those options are all open for Authentic at this point. But, boy, that was a pretty nice-looking effort yesterday in the Sham for the Baffert runner. All right, we will take a break when we come back. A little handicapping. As I say, I think we'll go through the first four legs of the Rainbow Six with that big carryover and yesterday they guaranteed it at $2 million. I think that would probably be the game plan again today because they got there pretty easily yesterday. Just give you an idea of maybe how to kick off the sequence down there. So all of that, and again, Gene Kirshner from the Buffalo News to talk a little year-end from 2019 as well. That's all coming up right after this. Stay tuned.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be. We'll be right back.
Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off-Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flick's Barn, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrow in the studio. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, today is an NFL Sunday. Here at the Clubhouse Racebook, come down and watch some of the continuing wild card action and all the racing action as well. Football and horse racing here at the Clubhouse Racebook throughout the NFL season. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Don't forget also, today is a 1% bonus day on your Aqueduct wagers. 1% extra. With some restrictions, check the website for more information, and I'll alert you tomorrow night there is thoroughbred racing available. Monday night, thoroughbred racing available here at Capital OTB. All right, let's jump in. Again, the Rainbow Six, a monster carry that is leading to big pools each day, which again means the consolation typically has the opportunity to be very nice. Again, you put together a ticket for $40, $50, $60. You can walk away maybe with $800, $1,500, something up in that range. So we'll give you an idea maybe how to start out the sequence this afternoon, which kicks off in race number 5 at about 2:30. Maiden claimers going a mile on the grass in the fifth race at Gulfstream. I have it 1, 7, 8, and 9. Andy's Kitten. It's Danny Gargan. It's Ken and Sarah Ramsey. A horse that started the career in the barn of Chad Brown. Last three starts has been Gargan. And the last three starts, compared to this field, are okay. First three starts were maiden special company. Last time dropped in for a maiden 35 claimer. Today, maiden 16. So the maiden 35 last time was a decent little third right here at Gulfstream. I think the additional class relief moves this horse forward. Tyler Gaffleone on board today. Number-wise, just has the edge on this field. Sometimes that happens. You look at the buyers and a horse just has an edge. That leads to the 2-5 favoritism on the morning line, which means, I mean, given the numbers, this horse is a potential single on your ticket, which is going to allow you to play around a little bit later in the sequence, because as I say, on the numbers, we're looking at a horse that probably 15 or 20 points better than even best efforts for some of the others in here. So Andy's Kitten looks like a solid play. Again, haven't seen the scratches yet. If that one, you know, that one doesn't wind up in there, or you're looking for alternatives, Tiny Turbo with some early speed may be a little bit interesting. That's always dangerous. Bitcoin Queen has some back numbers that are okay. The race two back off the turf was a good second, but there are turf numbers that are okay. I think fits nicely class-wise with this bunch. But again, in that fifth race at Gulfstream, it really looks like Andy's Kitten is going to be the one you're going to have to go through. And that means there's a potential easy, you know, a free square, so to speak, to kick off the sequence this afternoon. Leg number two is race number 6, $7,000 to $8,000 claimers going 5.5 furlongs. I have it 8, 1, 7, and 4. Micah's Girl on top. 4, Safi Joseph, who had the big day yesterday. This is first off the claim for Safi Joseph. He has phenomenal numbers first off the claim. It's also a horse that is in very good form, coming in with a 3-race win streak, all against a little bit lesser, but I don't think the jump up from 6,250 to 8,000 is significant, particularly not in the form this horse is in. The last three races, all wins, as stated, they've all been under Jaramillo. Jaramillo back on board again today. So Micah's Girl looks like a logical contender in here. Suze, the number one horse, lots of early speed, numbers that are maybe a little bit lighter overall than the recent numbers from Micah's Girl, but are kind of in the ballpark. But again, with the early speed from the rail coming down from Hawthorne, maybe getting a little dose of class relief on the move. Suze could be interesting as well. And then Pocket of Candy in the third spot for me. Comes off a nice win last time in a claim, similar to the scenario with the top pick, although as opposed to the top pick, numbers just, again, a touch lighter. But there are some numbers down the page underneath that get up into the area of the top pick. So maybe moving into the new barn, if this one moves forward a little bit, doesn't have to move forward much, does fire a number that it will stack up with Micah's Girl. But again, for the second race in a row, Micah's Girl doesn't stand out like the horse in the first leg, but Micah's Girl seems to have an edge on this group in the sixth at Gulfstream, 8-1-7-4. Over at Gulfstream in the seventh race today, we're looking at an optional claimer, non-winners of two other than 5 furlongs on the grass in race 7, 2, 6, 5, and 8. Pay any price on top. Avril Racing, Matisse Racing as well, teaming up with Avril Racing. Comes out of a series of stakes races, really a number of stakes races on the page, but the last couple were stakes races. The only thing is they were in March and May. So the horse hasn't been seen since the end of May. But boy, firing numbers when last seen. That, again, have an edge on most in here, at least a slight edge on pretty much all of them. But now comes back for a claiming tag off a long layoff. Not a cheap claiming tag, though. It's not the one that, oh, fire sale kind of thing. It comes back for $62,500. But the question mark is going to be the fitness. However, you look at the December 15th work, the December 22nd work, seems to be working in the morning like he'll come back ready to roll. Do know, this is a 10-year-old coming off a layoff. There are some question marks. I have the horse on top, but this would be one I would not single by any means because there are too many question marks flying around. Fig Jelly, it's Jason Service, it's Michael Dubb and company. This is a horse that a bona fide turf sprinter, was in a turf sprint stake, 2 back up at Monmouth, ran a good second. That bodes well for this afternoon, particularly the number fired that day. So this becomes an option and one that will be on my rainbow ticket. Explorationist in the third spot. Turf sprint here at Gulfstream last time in a similar class. Good second for Mark Cassie, showed some early speed, just got caught late, but was clear of the third place finisher off of that one. You have to pay attention to Explorationist as well. Boa Nova comes in from the West Coast, and there are some pretty good performances and a lot of early speed for this one as well. All four of these look interesting to me, and again, it just comes down to as you parse the ticket out, what you can afford and whatnot. But for me, all four probably make it onto my ticket because, again, in that first leg, I'll probably toss in the single just so I have a little ticket together. So 2, 6, 5, and 8. Race 7, 2, 6, 5, and 8. And finally, let's, as I say, we'll just go through the first four legs to give you an idea time-wise. But the fourth leg in the sequence is race number 8. State bred optional claimers, non-winners of one other than the condition, 3/4 of a mile in the 8th at Gulfstream, 5, 6, 2, and 4. Lemniscate on top, last seen at Kentucky Downs, so a little bit of a layoff, hasn't been seen since the early part of September. And I didn't know where to go with this one. On a best effort, I think this horse may have a little class edge on this bunch. They were ambitious with this horse last year, coming out of a maiden breaker, going into the Louisiana Derby. They also tried the Amsterdam up at Saratoga. Both of those were kind of duds. But in this kind of state-bred optional claiming company, as I say, wouldn't surprise me if this horse had a little bit of a class edge. But the fitness question mark, having not been seen since the early part of September, and just maybe is a little bit inconsistent, as I said, wasn't quite sure what to do with this one, but Jose Ortiz on board. I just tilted slightly in this direction. Alerstra in the second spot. Again, a little bit inconsistent maybe on the numbers. Fired an 86-2 back and a 71 last time. Both second place finishes, but there are some very good numbers underneath. So I thought this one was probably a player on a best effort as well. The trouble is, you know, with these top two, are you going to get a best effort? You don't know. He is gone, goes out for Safi Joseph. And again, after the day he had yesterday, he becomes an automatic, at least an automatic that you have to take a look at as you go down and handicap the race. And I pulled this one in off the nice second place finish last time, which seemed to indicate the horse is kind of moving in some good form right now. So in the eighth at Gulfstream, 5, 6, 2, and 4. All right, that brings us to our next break. As mentioned earlier, when we come back, we will be joined by Gene Kirshner from the Buffalo News. We'll take a little look at Gene's annual Racing Kreskin predictions. Also get some of his thoughts on the year in review 2019, the Eclipse Award nominations that came out yesterday, and much, much more. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of branch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As mentioned before the break, joined now by our friend Gene Kirshner from the Buffalo News. Gene, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. And I'll ask again. I'll ask for the benefit of being on the air. We talked during the break. How are you? How's the family? I said at the top of the show, your wife works for the Bills, so certainly I'm sure you all were rooting for. I mentioned to you during the break, there's a bar in downtown Albany that fills up with Bills fans, and there were a lot of Bills fans all season long with a great season, and it was, boy, that was a tough loss yesterday.
Yeah, it was disappointing. My wife's in the front office as a VP of marketing, and it was just heartbreaking at the end, you know, having a chance to win the game, you know, being right there up 16-0 after three quarters. But, you know, really it was it was unexpected that we would get this far or even make the playoffs this year. And they had a great season and a great learning experience for our young quarterback, Josh Allen, who showed, you know, the national audience, not only on Thanksgiving, but I think yesterday, that real deal. He's just got to put away some of those mistakes that he makes in key moments. But, you know, that's the learning process. And, you know, I think big things to come. We've got $90 million in cap space and 9 draft picks over the next 2 years. So, big things for Buffalo coming forward, even though it was a disappointing loss yesterday.
Yeah, as a Jets fan, I can say this. I'd rather be in your shoes than mine.
Yeah, you know, that rivalry, I think we're both in good shape because I think the Patriots dynasty is about to come to an end, which is a good thing.
That's funny because last night I went and ate dinner in the casino, the Racino up at Saratoga Harness last night. And afterwards I went over and I was just playing some slot machines for a couple of minutes, just kind of mindlessly punching the button. And I was right around the corner from their sports bar, where they're playing all the games and everything. And so, I don't know, it was maybe 10:30 or something. There was a huge cheer. And somebody walked by and I said, "What happened?" And somebody said, "Hey, the Patriots lost."
Yeah, silver lining from yesterday is that they went down, and hopefully that's the last we see of Tom Brady in the AFC East, hopefully.
I root for the Jets. There are a lot of Buffalo fans in the area. Not so much on the Patriots, obviously. All right, let's jump in and get some of your thoughts. I have linked the Racing Kreskin column at Equidaily, so folks can link to that. But if you Google in Gene's name and the Buffalo News, you can pull up all of his columns. There were some nice reviews of 2019 and whatnot. Before we get to this year's Kreskin, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Clips nominations came out yesterday. Did you see any surprises? And I talked with our colleague Brian Netto during the Handicappers Report yesterday about the Eclipse not potential nominations at the time we talked, and subsequently they've come out. And I said, you know what, as I put my ballot together, which I just really did a few days ago, just under the deadline, I thought the categories this year were pretty straightforward, except for maybe a couple. And the two-year-old, I couldn't pull the trigger on Storm the Court. I went for Structor. And the the Turf Females, I used Got Stormy, but I thought you could make a case for what wound up to be all three finalists, Got Stormy, Uni, or Sister Charlie. I just like that Mark Cassie took the shot at the end of the year out in California with Got Stormy, and I like to kind of promote that kind of thing. So there are a couple of categories that maybe will be interesting on Eclipse night, but what were your thoughts as the finalists were announced?
You know, I thought it was rather formful, to be honest with you. I actually put that in the Kreskin column. I usually make a prediction on the Eclipse, but there was nothing that really, you know, jumped out at me. And I really just focus on the top vote. I know it's important. There's people, like, you know, arguing on Twitter on, you know, who's in the finalists. But really, does it matter if a third or the fourth horse gets in? It doesn't. It's only who wins the Eclipse. And, you know, that's kind of my take on it. I went with Storm the Court, just, you know, the win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You know, I thought, you know, put him over the top. You know, really would have liked to see Dennis's Moment win, because I think then he would have been a lock. But I had Structure in my mix, and I went with Uni just with a win over Got Stormy in the big race. And if Got Stormy would have won the Woodbine Mile, you know, maybe I would have thought about it, you know, a little bit harder on that horse. But that's where my head was at. On that.
Yeah, that category is maybe the two-year-old. I think I'm on the outside looking in. I think a lot of people will give Storm the Court the award because of the Breeders' Cup, but the female Turf, because Brian Netto said he went for Sister Charlie. So we've now, the three of us each have a different horse. So that category may be a little bit intriguing to see how it plays out. But again, we will know in a couple of weeks. And as you say, I think it was kind of formful, and we know how things are going to work out in most of the categories. And I guess it's an honor to be named a finalist. But it's also kind of quirky as far as how they come up with the finalists, and then you look at the vote totals, and which only count first place votes, et cetera, et cetera. So that all plays out in a kind of a strange fashion. But again, I guess it's an honor to be named a finalist, as it should be. Let's talk a little bit. Again, we'll hit on the predictions for the year ahead. But before we do that, I also pulled up the column from a few weeks back, recapping your predictions for 2019. You know, you hit, you missed a little bit. I like the prediction McKinsey wins the big cap, and then you write in your follow-up column, "Are you kidding me? Gift box?"
Yeah, you know, if you're looking at my picks last year, I was 2-for-10, right, which isn't so good. But if you really take a look at them, you know, I missed by, like, 7 votes on the Justify Walks Away with 80% of the first-place Eclipse vote. You know, I'm just 7 votes, and he's at 77%, gets you over 80. McKenzie loses by a dirty nose in the big cap gift box. You know, so there's two. I got the winner of the Derby coming from gate 7 through 12. Maximum security was 7. So that one gets DQ'd. Debacle, right? So there's three that, you know, pretty much could have been there. And then Cassie saddles three runners in the plate. He had two, you know, he had could have gotten one of the fillies out of the Oaks into the race and just didn't get there. You know, the Haskell has turquoise instead of lime green. Come on, you know. I'm just so close, you know. And, you know, with everything that happened at Santa Anita, with I had that they would break the attendance record of 73,000. They only had 67,000. And it was beautiful weather. I can't believe that folks didn't come out. Maybe it was because of everything that happened at the track last year. And, you know, maybe we lost some fans or there were other things going on in Los Angeles. But, you know, I took a pretty good run at 500, which is usually the goal of these things. So,
yeah, and I've said in previous years, I'm willing to give partial credit. The DQ and the Derby, I'm giving you partial credit there. The hat color, I'll give you partial credit there. So I would score much easier than you do.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little tougher on myself because I don't want to look like a homer, you know, giving out the points to myself. So.
All right, let's go through this year's list. And I pulled up a replay just a week ago of Omaha Beach in the Malibu because I think you're starting your year out with a little bit of a slam dunk here, Omaha Beach in the Pegasus. But I have to ask, did the Kreskin Crystal Ball kind of delve into this with a little more confidence after it became clear that Gary and Mary West were going to look elsewhere for maximum security?
Yeah, you know, I actually had it written beforehand.
Okay.
I'm going to kind of say that I thought it was going to, you know, something else. And I was just actually thinking this morning, I probably should have put, you know, the big duel happened in the Met Mile, maybe, between Omaha Beach and Maximum Security. You know, he's kind of looked down the road. Maybe that's a race from a breeding perspective that they might both try to go after. But is Omaha Beach going to retire after the race, though?
Yeah, that's where they're leaning.
So that's
yeah.
not going to happen. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that's why the Crest doesn't make predictions that far out.
But this is a good one, Omaha Beach and the Pegasus. Sponda runs in there, that may be interesting, but I think with the Saudi Cup this year, and as I say, Maximum Security going in the other direction, I think you might start the year off in fine fashion. We just saw the Malibu victory, and so, you know, Omaha Beach, I've been saying for about a week now since that victory, it's the year that could have been because he misses the Triple Crown and the summer season. Otherwise, he and Maximum Security may have elevated that three-year-old crop a little earlier in the year that really until the end of the year was kind of weak. I just thought, as we started the Racing Kreskin column, we probably, you and I know, but probably there's viewers out there who don't remember Kreskin, so maybe we should remind people of Kreskin and his particular talent.
Yeah, in the mid-70s, he had a television show. It was actually based out of Ottawa. I was reading up on him just to refresh my memory about him, and he used to make predictions. He wasn't a psychic. He called himself a mentalist.
Yeah.
And you know, one of his big tricks was that he would hide his paycheck, or they would have some staff hide his paycheck in the crowd, and he would go off the stage while they did it, and he would come back out. He would be able to narrow down the area where that paycheck was.
That's right.
And he only missed it years 10 times or something like that, so, but he still, I guess, goes on CNN every year and does his annual, you know, predictions for the next year. So I kind of, you know, 10 years ago or so I started doing this column, just having some fun with it because it's a slow time of year in racing, and you know, it's around the holidays, and you know, a light look at racing.
No, I think it's fun because I check in with you when we see you down at the Belmont Stakes and up at Saratoga. How's the Kreskin going? And as I say, I have a link to over on Equidaily. Now I have a little annual kind of soothsayer looking into a crystal ball graphic that I attached to it as well. So, all right, let's move on. This one, the prediction number 2, Hometown Horse wins the Dubai World Cup, looking for a Godolphin horse. That, to me, you're taking a shot just because the one thing I was going to say, just because you don't know who's going necessarily, and potentially Maximum Security will be there, but the one thing you do know about this, there'll be a Godolphin horse that'll run.
Absolutely. And you got to, you know, I just figured, I don't know if they've had much success in this race. They've had on the undercard some, a ton of success. So, I'm just taking a shot. You know, there's going to be one in the race. It's a good prediction as any of that at this point in the game. You know?
Yeah, you start out with a little bit of a leg up, at least, as I say, knowing they'll be there. The Big Cap is traditionally a very important race on the racing calendar. There's a pretty good purse involved. But you say the field no larger than six. And given this year with Dubai and that new Saudi race, you may have nailed it. Although the potential is always there for seven second stringers to show up. Well, but I think this is kind of an interesting one. It'll be fun to watch if they do get six or more in the Santa Anita handicap.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting trying to set what that over-under would be, and I was trying to take those types of things in consideration because, if there's no real horse, why not take a shot at a prestigious race, So you could get 8 to 10 in there at some point, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think with the big races this year and the situation in Southern California, you may be onto something there. Big Cap field, no larger than six. Kentucky Derby winner coming from an inside gate from 3 to 8. I like this. This is another one that's just kind of fun to follow because this is really, you're looking into the crystal ball.
Oh, for sure, and. You can bet it'll be an outside horse now that I've done this. This is the way it's gone for me the last 2 years.
Particularly last year again with the DQ. Yeah, exactly.
The DQ number 20 win, So, and I'm just kind of looking at it at, maybe the early placing, maybe a speed horse that, has good tactical speed that gets into good placing around that first turn, which is really key there at Churchill Downs. Looking 3 to 8. Pretty solid. They haven't 10 is the post I think that's won the most in the last 40-45 years, and it hasn't won in at least 10 years that I can remember.
I like to, as I say, watch this because you're really looking in the crystal ball. Kentucky Derby winner from 3 to 8 potentially this year. Derby winner will come out of the Florida Derby. That's an interesting prediction as well to me. If I was predicting, I would go Arkansas Derby. I just think that's been productive the last few years. But you're looking at the Derby winner as coming out of the Florida Derby this year, which, again, has been productive, too, I guess, when you come right down to it, looking at last year.
Yeah, look at last year. You look at Orb came out of that race. It's been some pretty good success in the last 10 years. And, it's a speed track, so you always have to, consider that. When they come to Churchill, it's a whole different surface. But, they're coming for anywhere. The Florida Derby is as good as any. And now that you got the Wood downgraded to grade 2, horses will skip that because they're trying to get their horse that grade 1 status, even at the 3-year-old age, early in their career. So, went with Florida on this one.
I said yesterday when we talked to Jeremy Plonk, we were talking a little bit about the Wood and how the game has changed since I first got into it, when the Wood was 2 weeks out. And so the calendar, to me, is what has kind of made the Wood a little less productive as compared to, again, when I first got into the game. Because it used to be, it was 2 weeks out from the Derby. Now you're in the middle of April. So the horses are coming up from Florida, beginning of April. They work out over the track, et cetera, et cetera. Now we're, these prep races, 4 or 5 weeks out. So you're up in, the Wood. Now you're talking late March, and nobody really wants to come up and take the chance of the weather. So I think the weather has played a lot into the Wood becoming less productive.
Very true, very true.
This is another good prediction that'll be fun to watch. The Derby winner will be saddled by either Asmussen, Romans, or Cassie. You're taking a swing here.
Yeah, the only one that maybe has, the best shot is Romans, but then it's the moment.
Well, Shoplifted winning the springboard a couple weeks ago for Asmussen.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know what will come up here? Brad Cox will probably come up and win it. Yeah, but one of those three, that they've typically had at least, a horse in the last few years. So, I'm taking my 5-10% shot or 15% shot that one of these guys is going to win it. And it's a good crystal ball prediction.
I like it, but I like the kind of the sub prediction there. Dallas Stewart gets in at a big price underneath.
Second for bonus points.
Yeah. Because that is one that has proved productive over the years. You know, he sneaks in at like 25-1 and completes a nice exacta. Another interesting one, and certainly from our trips up to the Queen's Plate, this is not, as compared to the Kentucky Derby, this is not out of the question at all. You're looking at potentially a filly winning the Queen's Plate this year.
Yeah, it's won four times over the past decade. Cassie's got his two wins with a filly. I almost bet that Cassie will win it with a colt as the pick. But, I think the Woodbine Oaks winner is always in there, and the runner-up usually runs. So you'll have two out of, 15 or 17 horses and a good enough shot. And they're usually pretty competitive.
And one you do every year, and I think is a lot of fun. And as you say, last year, again, I'm giving I'm going strictly Roy G. Biv, the rainbow colors, red, orange, yellow. If you're in the hue, I'm willing to give it to you. But this year, I think this is a kind of a good call because they've done this a number of times. Very popular up at Saratoga. You're looking at the promotional Haskell hat, the color black this year.
I'm going with black. You know why? You know, I think Maximum Security, his colors, I think there's black in it. And sometimes what they do is they take the horse that won the prior year and they use those colors in the next year. So I'm giving away some of my crystal ball secrets here, but I'm thinking black might be the color this year, for sure.
Like I say, that's a good one because black, it's been popular at Saratoga over the years. And so wouldn't surprise, I don't know, have they ever done a black Haskell, do you know?
Yeah, I think there's a link there to some of the older, 2015 posts there. They'll take you back. And I was trying to find the one. There used to be one right on the Monmouth site that had all the hats going back. And, I would try to look at them to say, see if there was a pattern.
Yeah, well, you can always cross out last year's color. So that gives you a slight leg up.
Absolutely.
But as I say, you're too tough on yourself, though, because as I say, I'd go by the hue, because to me, red and pink have to be the same color. Blue and like Robin's egg blue have to be. I'm going, if you're in the blue hue, I'm giving you points.
Seth, one of my highlights is when you had me in the studio there at Saratoga, you pulled out the Haskell hat on me, and that was just classic.
Let's move on to Travers Wynn. Speaking of Saratoga, you're looking at a Chad Brown victory. I don't know if that's stepping outside of the box too much, although I'm trying to think. He's got Structor, obviously. If they try the dirt with that one, maybe that's a potential. But, of course, there's plenty of time for a three-year-old to develop and get to the Travers. But, again, it's Chad Brown at Saratoga, so that is clearly within the game plan of happening.
The few times I've had the opportunity to talk to him, he always mentions the Travers. He always says that's, definitely high on his list. It's Derby, Travers, any of the other classics.
And again, Chad Brown at Saratoga, the Travers is tough to win, but if a guy has that, as you say, in his sights, Chad Brown is the guy. And finally, this will be one that's going to be fun to watch as well. Keeneland Temperature doesn't top 60 degrees on Breeders' Cup Saturday. I'm curious, when I read this, did you by any chance look at temperature ranges over the past decade for the Keeneland area when you made this prediction, or are you just taking a shot?
I did the prediction first, and then because I was there a couple of years ago for the American Faro win there, and I looked at the last 5 years, and the high temperature in 15 was 70, and I went to 73, 51, 61, and 62 last year. So only once out of the last 5 years that it dipped below 60, the high on that day. But the last 2 years is 61 to 62. So I thought it was a pretty good number.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, this one becomes interesting. I'm suggesting to the guys down at the casino in Schenectady that they put these up as prop bets.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be funny.
That'll make it a little more interesting as well. But, again, we will check in, certainly, and see how things are going during the year. It's a lot of fun always, the annual Kreskin. And if folks want to read the entire column, again, I have it linked over on Equidaily. Gene, as always, appreciate the visit. And, of course, good luck with Racing Kreskin this year.
All right, Seth. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate the visit. Gene Kirstner from the Buffalo News. As I say, I have the column linked on Equidaily, and if you type in Gene's name and Buffalo News on Google, you can pull up his articles there as well, typically pretty regularly putting up content on the Buffalo News website. All right, we're getting a little bit late, as it were, but that's okay. I'm looking up. They haven't started the pregame show at NIRA yet, so we'll get you there, or maybe pregame golf stream a little before that as well. I'll be back in an hour or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Again, a reminder that they had the graphic up earlier at Tampa. Their late pick five has a carryover today. I think it's at $25,000, which, again, will attract some attention, certainly. So the pick five, late pick five at Tampa. They also had a graphic up that they were off the turf at Tampa, so keep that in mind if you're going to take a look. Big pool, obviously, down at Gulfstream. With the Rainbow Six, so take a shot there. That one I will take a shot with. They've gotten up to the level now where I'm looking every day, and particularly a day like today where that first leg you can, I think, single. It offers you an opportunity, excuse me, to put together an interesting little reasonable ticket. So I'll take a shot at Gulfstream, but some nice racing as well. In New York, we'll toss Fairgrounds into our mix also. Again, that'll all happen in about an hour. Don't forget NFL Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. We'd love to see you swing by and enjoy all the racing action and all the football action today as well. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Don't forget also, it's a 1% bonus with your Aqueduct wagers today. There are some restrictions. Check out the website for more information, CapitalOTB.com. Tomorrow night, Thoroughbred Racing available here on the network and via Capital OTB. That's tomorrow, Monday night, Thoroughbred Racing is available. I think that catches us up with all the promos, all the racing action from the weekend, great stakes action yesterday. And again, we took a look at the Jerome from Wednesday. We are underway, as we mentioned yesterday, obviously, with our conversation with Jeremy Plunk. We are underway on the Derby Trail. His initial countdown to the crown came out Friday for the 2020 Derby Trail. Yeah, I have that linked on Equidaily as well. That'll come out, as Jeremy said, it's a little bit of a different format this year. The printed version, which is the traditional, which I like, kind of reviews and previews the important three-year-old action from the week behind and the week ahead. That'll come out Friday the way it always has, but he's also going to be doing a podcast a little bit earlier in the week, reviewing some of the weekend stakes action a little bit earlier in the week. But again, I have a link to the countdown to the crown from this past Friday at Equidaily as well. Eclipse finalists announced yesterday, so the countdown begins to Eclipse Awards. As I say, it seems pretty cut and dried for the most part this year, with a couple of categories that could be a little bit interesting, but it was fun to see the announcement of the finalists yesterday. All right, again, we're running a little late, so I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio, thanks for joining us again back in about an hour or so with OTB Live for Sunday afternoon. We will see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.